Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
In a bad way, he couldn't help himself. Hey, he saw a woman. That's my new wife for today. And he told his mom and dad, please, Samson, can't you find a girl that you can marry? I like that one. She pleases me. Go get that one. But then God turned it around and used it to deliver his people. Samson wasn't necessarily righteous, but God used him for the time period that he was called to be what he was called to be. But Samson was a loner. He did everything on his own. And that's what got him in trouble. And ended up getting his eyes poked out, bound to a grinding mill. That's about as low as you can go. They were treating him like a donkey. That's what donkeys did, was grind the mill. So Samson was reduced to being like an animal until he came to himself and said, Lord, give me one more chance. How many know that we could just, if we just get one more chance, our lives can turn around? And that's what Jesus did on the cross. You know, I was talking to a Muslim guy once, and we were talking about Jesus. And, of course, they recognize Jesus as a prophet, as a leader, as a teacher. They don't believe he was crucified. So we were talking about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And I said, you know, Jesus died for the sins of the world. And he said, that's not fair. That's not fair that he had to die for everybody else. And you know, you think about that, it isn't fair. But I said, it would have been not fair if what? He had stayed dead. If all he did was die, then it wouldn't be fair. But he got up and showed that not only did he not deserve to die for everybody, he had power to bring his life back to him, to show that he had victory over death, hell, and sin. So it's not fair if he stayed dead. But the fact that he rose from the dead makes it all the fairness that we could ever imagine. Because now we don't have to die if we just accept him. Amen? And so you think about the resurrection, and sometimes because of tradition, we're so inundated with it. We don't really give it the thought that it really deserves. I mean, you're talking about an event that has changed civilization. One man, 33 years on the planet, that has changed everything in the world, for good and for bad. People that admit for the good, meaning those that don't believe or not, they have to deal with this guy, Jesus. They have to figure out what they're going to do with this Jesus guy. And so I just want to read some passages of scripture today that kind of talk about the resurrection and to get us to think about it in the terms that we need to think about it. And I call it the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection. And we forget how much power, because God has so much power, we forget how much power it took to bring Jesus back from the dead. Because Jesus said he laid his life down. No man took it. So that does away with the Jews killed him argument. You know, some folks want to kill the Jews because they persecute the Jews because the Jews killed Jesus. The Jews killed Jesus. They had the trial, But you know, Jesus could have got out. He could have beat that rap. He could have beat that rap. But he kept his mouth closed. He could have, look, they came to arrest him and he said, I'm he. They all fell down on the ground. He could have ran. Right? I mean, hey, they're down. Let's go. Let's hit it. Angels, carry me away. That's all he had to do. But he says, I'm here. Arrest me. Go ahead. I'm here. I'm here to submit to your authority. And when they asked him questions, he wouldn't answer until they asked him one question. Are you the Son of God or not? He says, Father, can I answer that one? So it's just like Christmas. The Passover is the day Jesus was crucified. But just like Christmas is not always on Sunday, is it? I mean, Christmas last year was Sunday, but next year it'll be Monday. Passover moves too. This year was on the Tuesday. Next year it'll be on Wednesday. That's how the days change, but the date hasn't changed. Amen? But the church set, again, this is because we wanted to separate ourselves from the Jews because we didn't want to be persecuted with them. The church set its own dates. So the date of Easter or Resurrection Sunday is set based on the church's traditional day of setting that date. But notice it's always on Sunday. But if it were true, it would not always be on Sunday. Are you with me here? This is just simple calendar logic. It's not like take deep things. But what I'm trying to say is that we doesn't really matter what they set. All we have to remember is that he what? Rose from the dead. And that's the key. Because the dates, God is not, although he sets dates, he's not all that big about whether that's the right date or not. It's like Christmas and all the other dates. But anyway, let's get back to the story here. Just a short commercial. Hope it wasn't too long. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. And it says, remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And we talked about in the last message, we were talking about how the life should be. When God speaks, he wants you to believe what he said and trust what he said, and obey what he said. Now, I can understand the grief of the disciples. I'm not going to sit up here and act like, oh man, Jesus died. Well, he said he's going to be alive in 3 days, so let's just see if it's going to happen. You know, most of us wouldn't have been that calculating. I mean, we could read the story now and say, okay, put the clock on. 3 days, he'll be out. But they're thinking of it in a totally different way. And I was listening to Jewish, and I listened to Jewish commentators, on, especially about the Old Testament, because sometimes the church leave out the Jewishness of the Old Testament. Are you with me here? And again, the internet, such a beautiful thing. Now you got to be careful because the Jews get off too, right? So you always got to, but I was listening to this guy read a commentary about the Messiah, and how he was describing the Messiah. And he described the Messiah. The Messiah is going to come. He's going to get married. He's going to have children. He's going to have grandchildren. And then he's going to die. And I'm thinking, they still are looking for a human being to be the Messiah. Where Jesus says, I'm alive, and behold, I live forevermore. He's not dying anymore. And so it's there. And so this is the same mentality that the Jews have today is what the Jews had during Jesus' death. They're shocked that he died before he ascended to the throne. That's what threw the Jews, the disciples. Jesus you don't have a kingdom yet. How can you die? That's what threw them. But Jesus says, don't worry. I will be back in 3 days. And they're saying, and then what do they ask him when he rises from the dead? Master, are you going to take the kingdom now? All they're thinking about is Jewish kingdom be reestablished. And Jesus says to them, it's not for you to know. But he says, but you wait until you receive power from on high. That's what you need to know. Don't worry about the kingdom. I've got that part. This is your part to do. And once they got that, then they could run with what they had. But until they put aside their understanding, they could not receive his understanding. And so the resurrection was a revelation of what Jesus said, but now has brought to pass. And now it's in front of them. And they say, oh, now I see it. But they still didn't see it until the day of Pentecost. Are you with me here? And why do I say this? It's because we so many times see things in a light that is only based on our understanding, but we don't really see it because we won't do what Proverbs 3, 5, and 10 says, which is what? Lean not on your own understanding. And then also when Jesus said that Peter received the revelation that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the next two paragraphs, he rebukes Peter because he still wants to lean on his own understanding of what the Messiah is. So we have to really learn to renew our minds when it comes to the Messiah, because sometimes even what we think the Messiah is supposed to do is not what the scriptures say. And we have to make sure it's all lined up. Amen? That's why I said the power of the resurrection, it brings a new perspective, if you will. So let's go to the next passage in Acts. Acts chapter 2, 2:24. We're not going to go through all that, so don't worry. He like said, boy, look at all them scriptures. No, we won't do all. It wouldn't hurt us, but, well, we do got to give them time to do the resurrection thing for the kids, right? Can't end early, so maybe we'll go through, well, anyway. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 24. It says, let me get there real quick, sorry. And it says, and we'll probably have to read starting at 22. Men of Israel, hear the word, these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, with him being delivered by the determined purpose of the foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Not possible. You're talking about another word for not possible is what? Impossible. It's impossible that death could have held him. Think about what he's saying here. This man, Jesus, is not really a man, is what he's trying to tell, because death holds all us humans. Ain't nobody got up. Lazarus got up, but guess what? He had to go back at some point. He's not here, right? So it was impossible for death to hold him. Everybody say impossible. And so if we serve a God that is impossible for anything to hold him, that doesn't he does not want to be held by, He's given you the faith to believe that all things are possible through him. Amen? All things are possible to him that believe. The check that we have to run on ourselves is, do we believe? Huh? And I know it's hard, and we know the parable of the sowers, how he tells us all these things that get in the way of our belief. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. The enemy comes to steal the word out of our hearts. Persecution comes and takes the word away. But we have to still believe that it's all things are possible, even though in the midst of all that stuff. And that's what we see in the book of Acts, that they went through everything that we just described and they prevailed because they believed that all things were possible to him that believed. I mean, Peter put in jail all the time. I mean, you look at the book of Acts, he's going to jail 2 or 3 times. They were going to kill him. And the Holy Spirit sent the angels to get him out of town. Paul, you know, he gives you his testimony. I was stoned, I can't remember how many times. Beaten, left for dead, shipwrecked. He says, but I'm still here. I'm still preaching the gospel. I'm still risking my life to share with you the good news that Jesus, all things are possible to him that believes. This is what he's trying to give us an understanding of, is that it's not possible that death could hold him. So that makes him somebody different. Amen? It makes him more than just a man. And that's the mistake human beings make. Everybody thinks Jesus is just a good man. And if he was just a good man, he's no better than any other man. But here it says it was impossible. It wasn't impossible to keep, you name a good man, in their grave. I don't care who it is. You name all your historical figures that you admire. It wasn't impossible to keep them in the grave, but it was impossible to keep this guy in the grave. I mean, do we really have any great people that we could say, oh man, that person was so great? But even if we did, it wasn't impossible to hold him in the grave. But it's impossible to hold this guy in the grave. Are you getting this? What's the next one up there? I got them in different order. I shouldn't have done that. But Acts, what's that? 2:32. So let's jump down there. I tried to put them in order. Mine weren't in order. That's why mine are in different. 32 says this, then Jesus, God has raised, this Jesus. Everybody say, this Jesus. Not another one, but the one that you know about. The one that 500 of us saw for 40 days walking around in his resurrected body. In a body that didn't look like yours and mine because it walked through walls. He showed up when he wanted to show up, and he left when he wanted to leave, because it was impossible for you to even close the door on him. When he says, I'll open a door that no man can close, he showed you that he really means it. Because they closed the door and he showed up. But this Jesus, he says, God raised up, which we are all witnesses. And that can include us. We're all witnesses, like we talked about. It's not just that they're witnesses. We too are witnesses because of the change he has made in our life. Don't take the change in your life for granted. Don't look at it and say, well, you know. No, remember the kind of person you used to be. And I don't care if you were a crook or a person. Hey, it doesn't matter. You were bad no matter what you did. And you, most of us just didn't get caught, you know? It wasn't we were so good. I was never been arrested, but it wasn't that I hadn't done anything to be arrested for. You know what I'm saying? I just didn't get caught. I stole like everybody else. I lied like everybody else. I cheated on tests at school. Got caught in college. I wasn't cheating. Somebody was cheating on my paper that time. But we used to cheat so much in geometry, it became a game. I mean, I couldn't get geometry. So the one guy who did, we copied his paper every exam. And we're out there. I mean, the teacher had to be blind and not know what we're doing because there's four of us. Say, what's the answer? What's the answer? What's the answer? All four of us in the circle. What's the answer? I mean, he can't see. Of course he can see. We're just stupid. And not just in geometry. I got out of geometry because I couldn't get it. But I didn't. I wasn't a saint. I just didn't get caught. So I needed to be transformed. And those are the worst people, the people that need it the most, because they don't think they need transformation. You know, you got your good education. You got your good job. What do I need Jesus for? Because that's not what life is about. If it was all about that, then God would not have sent his son to die. He would have built a college and said, go there and educate yourself. If that was it, if it was all about, he would have given us all jobs and say, go forth and make all the money if you canneth. But no, you need to be transformed if you got $6 billion in your bank account. Because money doesn't last, but salvation does. Amen? So we all needed to be transformed. My mouth was nasty, cursed all the time, especially outside of my father's hearing. And my father cursed all the time, but don't let me curse in his presence. You know what I'm saying? You guys remember the dads like that? He'd curse you up and down the street, but you hear you say a bad word. What did you say, boy? I said, just said what you just said. No. And don't say that either. You really be in trouble. But that's why you have to live it and not just teach it. And he knew the best. He knew he was raised in the church. Thank God he got saved before he died. So we have to be transformed by this resurrection power. It's the power of the resurrection that carries us through salvation. And it's the power, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit raised up Christ from the dead. And that same Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us, to quicken our mortal bodies, as the scripture says. Make us alive again, who are dead in trespasses and sins. It doesn't take any sin to make you dead. You're dead born. You're born dead. Kids come out sinning. They just don't know it's sin. Kiki, the newest edition of the Franklin clan. She'll let you know in a minute that she don't like what you're doing. And she can't talk. All that tells you, I don't like what you're doing to me, Papa. I don't like that, Mom. I don't like that, Dad. That's what she's telling us. And then if you were to have a conversation with Kiki, well, Kiki, what would you like? Exactly. She can't tell you. And that's how we are. If God were to ask you, what do you want? All we would say is something natural, because that's all we know. But he, knowing us, knows that that's not what we need. That's why when Solomon asked for wisdom, he gave it that, and then he says, because you didn't ask for all this other stuff, I'm going to give you that too. But I'm going to give you wisdom because you need, that is what you need. And unfortunately, he didn't apply it to every area of his life. Anybody that marries 1,000 women doesn't have good sense. And that has nothing to do with women. That has everything to do with a person that can't control himself. Because all he's walking around is, oh man, I'm going to marry that lady. Oh man, I'm going to marry that. Oh man, I'm going to marry them all. And I'll see you in 3 years, because that's how long it took to get back to him. 3 years. Do one date a year, and it's every 3 years. Heck, you'd be dead by 4 dates. Are you with me here? That is a man that is out of control. Yes, and he became out of his mind later because he started doing things he had no business doing. And this is supposed to be the wisest man who ever lived, even according to Jesus. Jesus said that. But then he said, a wiser than Solomon is here. Because I don't have the same problem Solomon has. Amen? What's the next one? 3:15? All right, let's go to Acts 3:15. Everybody say power of resurrection. And it says, and he killed, let's go back to 11, start at 11. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power and or our godliness we have made this man walk? Listen to what Peter says. It's not us. Huh? It's not me. It's not anything we have, but it's God. And then he goes on to say, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are all witnesses. And is his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Listen to what he just said. Faith in his name. God is so powerful that all he needs is a name and he can change something. Jesus doesn't even have to be there anymore. You just call on his name and he can change a circumstance. He can heal a body. But you have to trust that name, and you have to trust it even at your own risk. Peter is talking to the very people who condemned Jesus, but he's not holding back because he's convinced. He's fully persuaded at this point. Live or die, I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to do what God has told me to do, even if I have to go to the grave doing it. And that's what it takes when you operate in the power of the resurrection. People don't like it. Just try it. Brother Philip, he's out there on the streets preaching. And he says they throw stuff at him when he talks about Jesus. He said one guy tried to drown out his voice. He just kept yelling to try to keep him from preaching. They want to fight him because all he wants to do is tell them Jesus loved you and he can save you, but they want to fight about it. They don't want, and if you're not careful, you think it's them, but the scripture already told you it's not them, but it's the principalities, it's the powers, it's the rulers of the darkness of this world, it's the spiritual wickedness in high places that they want to fight you. But if we always point at people, and this is the problem with race relations, because we're always looking at people and not remembering who's behind them. Because the enemy comes to divide and conquer. And he uses race as his greatest tool. If you hate white people, oh, he loves it. He loves it. Because you'll never get over that hatred. Because there always will be white people. Huh? But until you understand that the gospel has transformed all people so that you can love everybody, it doesn't matter who betrayed you. Yes, we've all been betrayed. There's not a person in this room that has not been betrayed. And I don't care, white, black. We've been probably betrayed more by black folks than we have white folks. Most of us, right? Because most of our friends are what? Black. I told my class when I was teaching business, I said, now, let me ask you a question. If I started a business, who would I hire? My friends, right? Wouldn't I? I mean, that's most of the time, that's what we do, right? Sometimes to our, he's shaking his head, sometimes to our dismay, but we hire our friends. And who are my friends? Black people, most of them. So am I prejudiced because I hired who I know? No. But that's what happens in life. We gravitate to the ones we hang around with. It takes a lot to get out of our circle to embrace others from another group. I mean, and we're not, so the enemy loves that we don't like certain groups of people. But you know what? If you need blood from that Asian or that white person, if he has O, what is it, O positive, He can give all of you a transfusion, and you won't become white. Isn't that amazing? Because it's, color is not a dividing line. And you notice the Bible really does not mention color very much. There's a couple of passages that refer to can the Ethiopian change his skin, right? Everybody knows that in Isaiah, right? But people are people, and we're all in need of salvation. So we can't be always hung up on the color of somebody. We've got to learn to get over that. You might say, well, you don't know what my grandparents went through. You don't know what my grandparents went through. I've heard the stories, but I understood that they overcame that. Because most of our grandparents own more stuff than we do. I mean, so my grandparents got 150 acres in Tupelo, Mississippi, and most of us can't even get a good apartment. And these are folks that couldn't read or write, and they really were oppressed. They couldn't vote, couldn't go to school, couldn't read, but they knew something to get what they wanted and succeed in life. Amen? And they didn't allow people who wanted to stop them to stop them. Amen? Now we have free reign almost. I mean, we can go to any college that we want to go to, right? You can go to Harvard. You can go to LSU. You know what LSU is, right? Louisiana State University. Because you know what? You couldn't go to LSU when my dad was a kid. And we all look at the SEC. You guys, how many football people out here? The SEC, they say it's the strongest football conference in the United States, right? SEC. Most of their players are black now. I've watched LSU's team, almost their whole team, the first 22 are black. And in the 60s, they wouldn't even let black people go to their school. And the SEC wanted to win. So they start allowing black folks to come to school. And now the SEC, Southeastern Conference is what it stands for, the Deep South, as some songs used to say, the Dirty South. They bring in all the athletes of color that they can get their hands on because they want to win. Huh? Well, do you want to win? Then stop letting things of color tinge your victory stance. Don't allow your bad past to affect your future. Because let's come on now. Every one of us have been, something bad has happened to us when it comes to skin color. Amen? Amen? I'm talking white and black. So it's not just one group. The Native Americans, if it wasn't for the casinos, they'd still be down and out. But now they're running some things up in here. they're calling the shots. Literally calling the shots. Huh? And they you know, well, come on now. They have a lot of gripe. They had treaties that were violated constantly. As soon as they found gold, oh man, we need to change that treaty. We got to get to that gold. So they, as the scripture says, we all have something to be ashamed about, but not towards God. It's towards people. It's towards principalities. But don't allow principalities to cloud your vision. And that's what prejudice is all about. If we could get, and I don't know how I got on this, but if we could get the resurrection in every aspect of our life, including our preferences, because we have them and they are strong. And if I might say, they are strongholds in some cases. And the Bible says that the anointing breaks yokes and uproots strongholds, casts down imagination, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We've got to get that resurrection power to transform our hearts so that we'll stop looking at people according to the flesh and look at people according to the Spirit. Paul said, I no longer know anyone according to the flesh. Isn't that what he said? And was it 1st or 2nd Corinthians? In other words, he's trying to take the flesh lens off and look at people in a spiritual way. And as soon as we do that, then we can be free. Everybody say, we can be free. Because when you put people in a box, there you're in that same box because they can jab at you. You remember, they don't let you do stuff like this, but I don't know, somehow, see, this is when I was bad. When I had my cat, I never liked cats. And when my sister brought a cat home, I hate to say this because it's probably, you know, folks are going to be offended by this. But the cat had kittens, and that kitten scratched me. What she shouldn't have done. So we locked those cats up and we gave them a beating. Now we didn't kill the kittens, but we shouldn't have done it. You might look at it, Harold, you did it. Yes, Harold did that. That's what I'm saying. I just did stuff and didn't get caught for it. If I was Michael Vick, I'd have been in jail for beating kittens. Huh? Are you with me here? But so I jabbed and I poked and I prodded cats because I hated them. Hated them. All because one scratched me. And I still don't like cats today, because I don't believe they, well, they do serve one purpose. They kill rats, and that's the greatest purpose on earth. But I had a dog that also killed rats, so I like dogs, so he could kill rats. So, hey, I got a dog that kills rats, so I'm in good shape. But my point is, if I didn't get over the cat thing, cats would always torment me. I don't like cats. Ugh, get that cat away from me. I don't want cats jumping on me, but I could pet a cat without wanting to beat the cat. I've been free from my hatred of kittens and cats. And that's what we got to get. That's what we got to get to. I know that's probably a bad analogy, but that's what we need to do. We got to get over all these hatreds, all these bad experiences that we carry in our back pocket to throw up in everybody's face when we need it. It's our bad experience card. Here, look at this. This is what happened to me. Look at it. And you need to deal with it. No, you need to deal with it. Because you're the one walking around with the card in your back pocket. I mean, come on, that's not freedom. That's bondage. I can, you know, and let's take it out. In the sports world, when I went to play football, I was skipped, mistreated, not given an opportunity. I could have hated all those coaches. And do they not know who I am? You know, we all think we got something. You know what I'm saying? I can help this team. They won't even give me a chance. And I could have been bitter. In all them years, I played football. Nothing to show for it. I could have been the best. No, but you're not. But you're not. You're not. And you're not going to get another chance to do it. You're too old. You don't have, my ankles can't run a 40 now. I can't even run a full 40. I could in a jog, but I can't in a sprint. And if it is, it's 7-8, and that ain't going to help nobody. Freedom, you got to be free from that stuff. Because there's people still wondering what they could have been. They're 65 years old and talking about, I could have been the best. I could have been the greatest. But you're not. So let's get over it. Let's get over it. The white man that kept me down, but he's not doing it anymore. So let's get over it. Let the resurrection in you. Because in my Bible says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. If God be for me, only the whites could be against me. Huh? Only the Koreans can stop me. The Vietnamese can take my... No, if God be for you, who can be against you? He that didn't spare his only son, but freely, everybody say freely, gave him up for us all. How shall he not freely with him also give you all things? Oh my goodness. When I heard that, and I really heard that, I said, can't nobody stop me if I'm doing what God wants me to do. Nope. I was in law school and they wanted to flunk me and they couldn't do it. Because God told me to go there and I said, Lord, if you put me in, you'll get me out. So I don't know what I'm going to have to do, brother. If it's 30 days, I got to get my blood down or whatever. It's going to happen because God wants me to get it done. And guess what? I got it done. And they can't stop you. When you know you're on the right path, nobody, they can try, they can maybe make you go on a detour, but they cannot stop you. And they cannot keep you from being what God has called you to do. Amen? But we've got to be so determined to believe what the Word says that we're not going to allow anybody else to dissuade or persuade us otherwise. No matter what they say. Oh, you can't do it. You don't have this. I don't need it. I've got him. And he qualifies me at every level. When a door needs to be opened, he doesn't say, well, Harold, don't wait, 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 wait. Did you graduate from theology school? Well, you can't go. That's not the way God works. I qualify who I send. I anoint and appoint who I send. And no man will close doors in your face when I open them. Amen? But we've got to be serious about the call. And it's not something that, oh, I'm so special. Oh, I'm this. Oh, no. He says, if God be for you, who's going to be against you? That's what makes you special. Not who you are, not what you got, not what you have, not what your pocket has, not like what your wallet has or doesn't have. It's him. It's him. He qualifies you into every area that you're about to step into. But you have to believe that. And you have to stop saying, I don't deserve it. No, you don't. You really don't. Let's just be honest. None of us deserve anything we have. Amen? I don't deserve nothing. I don't even need to be up here. But he told me to go, even though I didn't want to go. No, I don't want to go. I don't want to do this. I don't want to. Lord, I'll give you 5 years. And if it, I'm doing all these deals. Lord, I'll do it for 2 years. And if it doesn't do this, then I'm going out. Lord, I'll do it for 3 years. And if it doesn't change, Lord, I'll do it for 5 years. And if it, look, you can't get out of this if he's not going to let you out of it. If this is what you're supposed to do. So I said, Lord, forget it. Whatever, I'll do this. I don't care how long it takes. Just change my heart because I really don't want to do this. Amen? But as we remember, if God is for us, and we'll close with this, there's nobody who can stop you. And that's because of the power of the resurrection. And what we have to do is get in line with his plan. If we're out of line, if we're doing things we know we shouldn't be doing, let's stop it and let's get back in line. You might say, well, how do we do? You repent and you say, I'm sorry. Lord, I know I'm out of line. Forgive me and get me back in line. And stop pretending as if you don't know you're out of line. You know, well, not me. You're out of line now with that attitude. You just got out of line, thinking that you didn't need to be put back in line. You know, kids run to the line. Everybody wants to be first in line. But some of them you had to take and remove to the back of the line because everybody can't be first. Huh? Kids don't know that. I'm first. No, everybody can't be first. There has to be a second and a third. So line up and get in line with what God wants. And stop trying to be first. Because the Bible says the first will be last. And the last will be first. So don't worry about your position. Just get in line. Amen? Because he'll make sure you're not left out. He will make sure you're not left out. So many of us have been left out in our lives. In our families. In our jobs. Sometimes we're the black sheep of the family. Some of us ain't even sheep. They called us goats. But God never leaves anybody out. You just have to want to play in the game. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.